Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. My name is Lisa Woodruff, and I'm a professional organizer and blogger in Cincinnati, Ohio. I want to help you get your home organized and help you organize life stages and unexpected events. So sit back, relax, and let's get organized. This month, I'm going to review a book that is actually not available on Audible, but this book is going to be such a benefit to so many of you that I really, really want to review it on the podcast today. And I have to thank Mary Kay from the National Association of Senior Move Managers for recommending this book to me, and what a blessing it's going to be to you. And the book is called Downsizing the Family Home by Marnie Jamison. And Marnie is a journalist. She's written many books and many articles. And she chronicles in this book the process she went through in taking care of her parents and ultimately emptying out and selling their family home. And in this podcast review, what I want to do is I'm going to take six different thoughts from this book and read them to you out of the book, and then give you my take on those. But this is a great book for those of you that are 65 and over and you're looking to downsize, or if your parents are 65 and over and you're in the process of helping them downsize. This book is such a great combination of humor, wisdom, practicality, statistics. It's so well written. I read it so quickly. And it will just help solidify in your mind some of the decisions you want to make as you yourself or you as a child are helping your parents downsize the family home. So let's get started. First of all, I want to talk to you about the biggest roadblock or mental mindset shift that needs to happen when you're looking at downsizing the family home. So let me read this out of the book and then I'll tell you what I mean. Marnie says that although no two households are alike, in her estimator's experience, she had an estimator come into her family's house, the contents of the average North American home after the family members have taken out what they want to keep and paid the liquidator 30% nets between $3,000 and $10,000. He's heard other liquidation professionals say the average house yields about $5,900. Now, that may be tough to swallow, but it's realistic. As for Marnie's parents' home, after the estate sale, which brought in $3,000, they continued to sell items on Craigslist, in consignment stores, and to dealers, and ultimately, they cleared just under $5,000. Okay, I want you guys to really let that sink in. So many times, as a professional organizer, I'm called into a house where the parents have passed away, or the parents are sick, or somehow this house needs to get cleaned out, and they want to know how much it's going to cost for us to help them. And it's going to cost a lot. And a lot of times, our cost is the same cost as what they're going to get out of items they sell. Now, I know in my father's house, when my sister and I were selling items out of my father's house, he had a lot of high-end things, and we just did not get very much value from them. Furniture does not retain its value. And right now, in the world, items in general are not retaining their value. The cost of items is still going down. And, you know, other than jewelry or silver or something that has a mineral element to it, there is not a big resale value. I saw a big change in 2008 when everybody started selling everything to make money to, you know, make their house payments and pay off their debt. And ever since 2008, in my observation, items are getting less and less. Here's what I see. I see the people who are living in the family homes that are 60 and over have usually lived in those same homes for 20, 30, 40 years. And they spent a lot of time and money acquiring the items that are in that family home. They all have meaning to them. They worked very hard for those items. And in purchasing those, the mindset of the baby boomer and the silent generation in making those purchases was to buy high quality and then to pass those on to future generations, either so that future generations could enjoy the actual item or so that they could recoup the financial investment that was made. I know that's true in the 80s when everybody would collect the garbage pail kid things, and they would keep them all in the containers, or they would buy those Beanie Babies and they would leave the tags on, and they would leave them in their original packaging because they were going to be worth something one day. Or when you traded baseball cards and you had a baseball card in mint condition, because if you had a baseball card in mint condition in the 1920s, it was worth a lot of money, but not in the 1980s. So unless you got a rare rookie card. But basically, when you look at the world today, getting items is not hard. I mean, Amazon will deliver me anything I want by tomorrow, and usually with free shipping. So getting physical items is super, super easy today. But the mindset of the person that acquired those items in the family home is different than the mindset of the person buying something new today. And something that once was valued because it was rare or because it was expensive is no longer so. So if you knew that when you were clearing out your family house, you were going to net $10,000 or less, would that change how you go about clearing out that family home? That's one question. Then also on that same page, they talk about how long it takes to clear out a house. And Marnie says, an average house varies widely according to the individual. And she's talking to Barry, and Barry says that he's seen clients go through the process at lightning speed, burning through the sorting in a day, and others take several years and still do not make much progress. Barry says a good healthy time frame is probably a couple of weeks, and that's what we did in our father's house. I got it done in a couple of weeks, which was a little fast for my sister, but it's all the time I had. So when you are looking at taking care of a family home, if you are the person that is 65 or older and you are looking at selling your family home, it could take you a year or longer, and maybe you'll get more than $10,000 out of the items in your home. But if you are the child and you are selling your parents' family home, just know that if it takes you years and years, you are not going to get more financial reward from being able to sell more and more items at the consignment store. Actually, if you really look at the cold, hard numbers, you're going to possibly be paying a mortgage. You're going to be paying insurance on that home, heating, electric, and property taxes at a minimum. And so any additional income you get from selling items is going to be negated by the fact that you had to maintain that house in the process. I know nobody wants to hear this information, but this is the information that we kind of need to hear and then be able to make our own decisions. Because the next thing that Marnie talks about in this book is the age wave. And she says, this is actually an age tsunami. Between 2010 and 2030, the U.S. population age 65 and older will jump by 80%. By 2030, 1 in 5 Americans will be 85 or older. Add to that fact, the families are spread out more than ever. Marnie says, I'm actually comforted by the aging of America. Think of all the collective wisdom we'll have. Then she talks about a family whose large home was holding them back after what they really wanted to do was spend time traveling, going to the theater, reading, listening to music, seeing friends, and visiting their children. They said, we spend so much time and energy cutting the grass, maintaining the garden and the house that we don't have time to do what we love. We don't need all that space, they continued. We spend our time in the kitchen, the bedroom, and the TV room. We never went in the rest of the house. Now, I want you to think about this if you are 65 and over and your retirement age, whether you're retired or not. I never plan on retiring. But if you're retirement age, do you really need this big family house that you bought and raised your children in and your grandchildren come to visit? Do you actually need all of that space? And why are you holding on to the, if you want to live there, that is a whole different story. But if you have the desire to have a nice condo where somebody else maintains it for you and you're able to travel or go visit your grandchildren where they are or go to lectures or knit all day and do puzzles and watch movies or whatever it is that you want to do, are you holding on to your family house because of an expectation you've put on yourself that your family is not? I know I'm 45, and a lot of my friends whose parents are over 65, the parents are saying, we're ready to move. And the kids are saying, we're ready for you to move because we're tired of worrying about you. And we want you to enjoy this rich retirement years that you have. Like, you have earned your time not to be cutting the grass anymore, unless that's something you want to do. So I want you to really think about, if you're over 65, Do you still enjoy your family home? Is it still where you want to live? I know some families, actually, and this may be something you haven't thought about yet, where the kids actually buy the family house. Maybe you just want to know if your kids want to buy your family house, and maybe they want to move into your family house. I know many families recently who I've met where they actually purchased the family house that they grew up in, but somebody else had purchased it in the middle. Like their parents were there, and then their parents moved away, and somebody else bought the house, and then the house came up on the market, and the kids actually bought the house. So maybe the family house will actually stay in the family, but you don't need to be the one maintaining it, and you can still go there on the holidays. All right, so what's the next thing I wanted to tell you about that Marnie was reading? Oh, these are good. Okay, so now we're getting to some of the bullet points that she says. And Marnie says, you are not your kid's attic. Can I get an amen? You guys know I'm telling you this all the time. She says, when kids move out, the family house often remains a repository for all of their memorabilia. Baseball gloves, ice skates, school pictures. It's not your job to save everything from your child's lives. Box up what belongs to each kid and send it to them. If it's furniture you no longer want, but your kids do, tell them to claim it now or never. Don't be the family storage locker. Now, what I will say to this is that I say the same thing. And now I'm listening to my peers who are in their 40s. They are telling their parents are saying, hey, I've got all of your kids' stuff here. And they're saying to their parents, we don't want it. We don't want it. Get rid of it. Now, kids, if you are in your 30s and 40s and you're saying that to your parents, that's not fair. You go get it and you donate it. Your parents don't have, they've saved it for you all of this time and they're holding on to it because it has meaning for them and they want to physically give it to you. So when they physically give it to you, take it and drive it straight to Goodwill if you want, but take it. Don't just verbally say, I don't want it. And parents, on your side, if your kids don't listen to the podcast, if your kids say they don't want it, I'm sorry, they don't want it. It's not you. It's not that they're rejecting you. It's not that they're not grateful that you saved it. It's not that they want it, but they want it in the future. If your kids are in their late 30s and 40s and they haven't taken it, trust me, they don't want it. So then if you physically cannot get rid of it, then deliver it to them and have them get rid of it. Or if they've said they really don't want it, it is okay to donate it. I am giving you permission. You could say, Lisa said you didn't want it, so I donate it and have them call me. Which goes to the next thing that Marnie says about managing expectations. The biggest problem in getting rid of the excess is that the kids don't want what the parents have and grandparents have been saving for years. They don't want the china, the silver, the crystal, or the figurine collections. Oh, I know. It's like I just stabbed you in the heart. Isn't it horrible? I have china and I have crystal of my own from my wedding that I never use and I'm not going to get rid of because I was saying to somebody else, in my mind, I'm going to have this big 1920s roaring party and we're going to use all of this. And actually, I have started grabbing a crystal Waterford glass and drinking out of it at night with a water or a soda or whatever because I'm like, I'm going to start using this stuff, darn it. Somehow in my mind, I have this idea that someday we're going to start using this Waterford and crystal. And the truth is the world has just changed. Like nobody's using Waterford, crystal, and china anymore. I think that when my kids get a little bit older, I'm just going to bring the china and start using it as my everyday dishes. I mean, there's really no other use for it because when I do have the family over, it's almost always at Christmas time. And newsflash, I have Christmas china too. I'm such an old soul. So if you've been saving your china and your crystal and all of that because you want to give it to your kids one day and they've gotten married and they either didn't register for crystal or china or they have their own crystal and china and they've told you that they don't want yours, here are a couple of options you can do. Number one, you can contact a place in North Carolina called Replacements Limited. Replacements Limited, you can look it up. You could tell them what you have. You send them this is how it used to work. You send them an email, tell them what you have, and then they tell you what they're buying and how much they'll get for it. And usually, when I've done this in the past, I did it in the early 2000s, they almost always want dinner plates and that's it. They don't want the teacups, the saucers, the bread plates. Sometimes they want some of the serving dishes. And they don't want all 14 that you have. They might only want 3. And you're only allowed to send them what they want because they keep in inventory what they have. Now, with everybody aging and cleaning out their houses, I haven't done this recently. They may not be taking very much of anything. Another thing they will take is your silver. And your silver does have value because it's silver. If it's real silver, it's really worth a lot of money because it's made of real silver. So that has a metal value to it, not just a beauty or a brand name value to it. So that's the best way I could tell you to sell that and get some of your monetary investment out of it. Now, as far as the memorable investment out of it, which I've mentioned in a previous podcast, there are a couple of ideas. One, you could take one piece of each kind of china you have, and there are different artisans who will break that china and they will turn it into jewelry. They will turn it into a Christmas ornament. Another idea I love is keeping a teacup and a saucer from each of the china place settings that you have, an eclectic collection. So you could say, this was the place setting of my great grandmother, and this was the place setting of my mom, and this was the place setting of mine. And you have, you know, one teacup and saucer from each of the different chinas. And then maybe you bring that out every year on Mother's Day, and everybody has tea or coffee or soda or water, whatever they want, in their teacup. That would be a fun, memorable thing to do. All right. And then the last thing that I'm going to pull out of this book that Marnie wrote is, she says, at the end of her journey of clearing out her family's houses, she said, over these last few years, as I've written and read and ruminated about the meaning of stuff, I have come to realize why we, you and I, don't like to get rid of our belongings. It's because consciously or unconsciously, we think they define us. By extension, we don't like to get rid of our loved ones' belonging because we believe they define them, that they embody them somehow, even with an invisible umbilical cord connection. And she says, we are not our stuff, and our loved ones are not their stuff. I think as our physical possessions become less and less monetarily valuable, and we as a society move more and more to this idea of minimalism, enjoying experiences with people and not so much the stuff that we accumulate along the way, we will naturally, personally, and as a community, shed these physical manifestations of ourself and start to really embrace memories more than the physical items. I'm not going to lie to you. It is not easy cleaning out a family home, whether it is you personally doing your own family home or you as a child doing the family home that you grew up in for your parents. This is an emotional, physical, mental, spiritual journey that you go on that I can't shield you from, and everyone is going to go through it. Like, you may not have children, but you all have parents, right? So everybody is going to have to do with this with their parents at some time, and it is almost like a rite of passage. It is a journey that you go through, and the more that you can savor the memories and keep select items that really remind you of special times with your family members, the easier it's going to be for you. One other thing I know I wrote in the book that I don't see right now is they talk about the idea of not going through the house and saying, what don't you want? But go through the house and say, what do you want? This is so much easier. And this is what Emily and I did. We would go in each room and we would go back and forth, and I would say, what do you want? And she would say, well, what do you want? Well, what do you want? And we would go back and forth, and we would choose in each room all of the items that we want. And we would tell each other the stories of why we wanted to keep some of these items. And when we were done with what we wanted out of that room, we went to the next room. And what was left in the room after we had picked what we wanted was then what we were going to sell or donate. Or it was not easy, and I will be honest, we definitely took things again like, oh, well, maybe we will keep this. And some of the reason why we decided to keep these things, I heard this just from another similar friend last week, was because my parents' stuff was better than mine, for crying out loud. They don't make furniture like they used to make it. And my parents invested a lot of their money in their material possessions because that's what you did in the 80s and 90s. And we just don't have the same quality today. So honestly, I upgraded my not so great furniture with their really great furniture, and my non-existent art with their taste in art. So sometimes you will choose to take more items out of your parents' family home just because the quality is better than what you currently have in your home, and that's totally fine as well. So the bottom line is this: I think this is an excellent, excellent book for anyone to read, all about downsizing the family home, because it's not just about you personally downsizing your family home if you're 65 and older, or you helping downsize a family home if you're a child. It is all about the process of how do we, especially if we are over the age of 40, process through all of those physical things that are part of our history and save the memories. And I just love how Marnie really, she really embodies and talks a lot about saving the memories. How do you separate the memory from the stuff? And this is the kind of book that I would write, but I don't have the time to write it. And so if you are in this stage of life, this is the book I recommend to you.